Welcome to today's podcast. It's worth considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We're going to talk about randomness, or what should be said is the appearance of randomness. How does one make sense of what is going on in Israel, Hamas, and the mass shooting in Maine? I think the last time we talked, we actually kind of talked about the fall weather. It was just turning fall. Now fall is at its peak. And we had talked about, you know, signs. And I tell you, when we talk, we're talking about, hey, there may be two big things that are happening in October, as some well-known prophets have talked about. So,
right.
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Well, boy, oh boy, Hamas and Israel, October 7th, incredible, tragic, awful. And I don't want to be anybody's useful idiot. You know, I've learned from the Afghanistan war and the Gulf War and other things where sometimes maybe I was too enthusiastic, and not to get political, but anyway, it's easy to quickly jump on board with whatever is going on.
It is, but yeah, there is a lot going on. You, when you and I were talking, it's like, hey, maybe something big October will happen. And who would have guessed that, you know, everything would have unfolded in the Middle East where, you know, Hamas would come in and they would do mass murders and the atrocities. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's sick.
And here we are.
We're sick. And at the same time, you do hear on the other side, too, that, hey, let's just wipe everybody out of Palestine. Wipe the whole thing down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, so when you look at what's going on and you realize the loss of human life is always tragic, always tragic.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about this a bit. You know, God loves Israel. God also loves, you know, the people in Pakistan, in the lower part over there, in Gaza Strip. So,
yeah.
And so when you see this, when you see, you know, these wars going on, and you see the breakdown that happened in Israel, they are just known for their, you know, intelligence. And for this to have happened in such a very, how do you say it was, non-technical way, how did they miss that?
Yeah, I know, and there's talk on both sides, and I'm no expert. I don't claim to know, but with all the insanity we've seen in the last few years and all the incredible lying that's been done to us by the highest channels, you know, in our country and around the world, I almost am very cautious to believe anything.
It is tough to know.
Is it too conspicuous? I mean, is it too peculiar that they, you know, have such great intelligence and yet missed this? Just like, you know, what people talked about after 9/11.
Yeah, look, well,
the Tower 7 and the,
look what happened at 9/11. I mean, it's not as though the United States doesn't have high, you know, security. It doesn't mean that they're not monitoring, but they missed that and how devastating.
Well, I mean, that's the question, is did they?
You know, and I don't doubt that they did. And I tell you what, I think sometimes when God pulls back the hedge, right, that hedge of protection, he talks about that in the book of Job, and then Satan is allowed to do his mischief. He's able to bring in evil as God says, go ahead and do it, and he gives him permission. If God breaks that hedge down because of the wickedness that goes on, both in Israel, I mean, that party they were having, that was a rave party. And so you got you got drugs, you got alcohol, you got sex, you have, you know, there was one image I saw of kind of a Buddha image. It was just a love feast, right? And we're all about love, and
well, and the love they're talking about is serious perversion in God's eyes.
It is. Often. It's kind of like in Genesis when Moses comes down from the mountain. What did he see? He saw a great love feast. He saw a rave as they were dancing around that golden calf, you know, and celebrating. This is the God.
Right.
This is the God who's delivered us. And God says, oh, my, you know, and Moses said, oh my, what should I do? And so I wouldn't say that that rave party was a reason in which, you know, Hamas was able to come in. I mean, God never really seems to work in that fashion, but it is a, how would you say, it was a sign. It is just a behavior that has become rampant, you know, in Israel.
Right.
And God doesn't
accept. And around the world.
Yes, it is. Yes. I mean, United States had, in the things which they have been involved with, God pulled that protection away. And we have 9/11. We've had other things that happen. So it's not out of the scope of reasonability that God pulls the protection away from Israel. You know,
right.
And then a wicked, more wicked nation, as in we see in the Old Testament, comes in and causes all this evil, and now there's this retaliation. So who knows what's going on?
Yeah, and it certainly could be that, and that's what I would suspect too. And at the same time, though, just going out there that, you know, like before 9/11, what had been said is that what America needs now is another Pearl Harbor. And of course, after that happened, it was used to great effect, you know, by the NSA with mass surveillance, you know, to protect us from the terrorists. But of course, what that's turned into now is a massive surveillance state, which, by the way, is why I recommend the movie that just came out by Dinesh D'Souza. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm saying I hope to see it.
Yeah,
so I can't
I'm looking forward
it.
To seeing that as well. Yes.
What's that called? Police state. Yeah.
And it is. And so we were willing to give up our freedom because our world was shaken and we felt insecure. So, okay, we'll give this up for security, you know, purposes. And now we have a deep state. Now we have Big Brother spying on us saying, hey, you don't have this, you don't have a freedom of privacy. We have to make sure that we're watching things or we're going to watch you. Yeah. And as you know, you've mentioned here before as we talk, that means that we're going to send in, you know, people to scout out what's going on in the Catholic Church that's doing the Latin Mass, the most conservative. And because they,
sure,
they might be up to something we could suspect is going to be wrong.
Well, yeah, if you're against gay marriage and you're against abortion, then, you know, in America in these days, that kind of means you're quite likely a domestic terrorist, you know, is actually the term. Which means you can be imprisoned and not have your rights. And obviously the people in January 6th, I'm not, you know, promoting some of the things that they did, but nonetheless, there are plenty of people who were just there at January 6th.
Oh,
actually,
absolutely.
I thought of going myself with a person from church. And heck, was that mean my bank records were going to be submitted that I used an ATM machine, even though I never went in the Capitol, and nonetheless, I'm going to have the FBI kicking in my door?
You know, it becomes...
I mean, that's happened to a lot of people, and they've lost their rights, and they are in prison. And in my mind, they are political prisoners. And that is what America is, you know, engaged in right now.
Yeah, it is.
I think we're losing our democracy.
Because you think of some of the allegations, right? Here it is that they're going to upheave this whole situation. I mean, they had hundreds of thousands of people. And I was listening to a podcast of one of the police officers who was working. His comment was, if that was a mob to take over the Congress, they could have done it. There's nothing we could have done to stop them. We were underpowered.
Right.
We were under force. We could never have stopped it. The point is that wasn't their intention. There were people who did things that, you know, they should be arrested for, but others were not there for that purpose. They were there for protests or whatever they were. But for an insurrection, that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and how about, I mean, haven't there been recent protests regarding Hamas and Israel and just in the last week and who disrupted Congress? And are they going to have their doors kicked in by the FBI? Is there going to be a big campaign against them? Doesn't seem like it.
It just, you know, when people's worlds are shaken, they're willing to give up some of the very precious freedoms that others have paid their life with, you know, so that...
No, and the hard thing to wrap your head around is that there are actually people who plan those things knowing that that's likely the way the masses will respond, and they do that deliberately. It's hard to get your head around sociopaths and how they think.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, obviously, when you think of Mao Zedong or Stalin or Hitler,
that's
or
why
whatnot,
they study them to see if they can figure it out, and they can't. You know, why? If they could, they would be able to stop the mass shooting, like there was one in just Maine last night. You know, everyone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, everyone's asking. You know, so why did they do this? How could we have prevented this? You know, well, evil is evil, and it's not very easily, you know, predictable. And especially if somebody's suffering also from mental illness. So.
Right.
And so this.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, evil happens, accidents happen. But I do think sometimes that there are things where people know ahead of time. And they turn a blind eye because they want it to happen because they already know how they intend to use the crisis because they don't want to, as Cass Sunstein said, they don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Well, I agree. I mean, for example, when you look back at 9/11, when they flew those planes into the towers, they knew it was going to cause damage. I don't think they had a clue that it was going to bring them down. Nobody did. I think that was something that they could study with hindsight and say, okay, this is what happened. You know, those that skeleton was compromised from the heat and gave way, and then gravity did the rest. But they didn't have the intel to be able to say, listen, if we strike it here and we have with a plane that has all this fuel on it, this thing's going to come crashing to the ground. I don't think they ever had a clue. It was a lucky strike, okay?
Well, I wonder the possibility, and again, I'm no expert, but as to whether... It's not even that they didn't have a clue that it would happen, but that they were involved in its happening. Because when I do look at Tower Number 7 and its collapse on video, which came down beautifully, perfectly as a demolition, I would think I'd have to be very naive to believe that that happened because, gosh, it was a little too close to one of those towers and the heat was kind of strong. And, gee, it just so happened that it fell down perfectly straight.
I don't know.
I don't believe that.
I'm not an expert, right? But I've seen plenty of videos where they detonate buildings, okay, and one floor is just detonated and the gravity just kind of, they come down straight. Just like they did.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Tower 7 did, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think the mastermind behind this is given, if you give it to people that they have this mastermind, I think it's giving them too much credit. I think, of course, is, you know, when I look at the book of Job and Job's attack by Satan, it came from all around. You know, his cattle was stolen,
right.
His servants were stolen, his children were killed. And it was orchestrated in such a way with groups of people that were not in contact with one another, but there was a demonic influence that brought that all together.
Yeah, and ultimately that's what it is, for sure.
And then look what happened,
To what extent people were involved or not, whatever, who knows.
And then look what he does. Satan does, he brings three of Job's friends together to try to psychologically crush him. And yet Job remained faithful, right?
Yeah.
But the mastermind behind that, as we know from chapter one, even though I think it's satirical, is very clear. There is a mastermind behind it. It's not God. He's not orchestrating this. He's given permission. He's pulled that hedge of protection away. And so Satan is given free rein to be able to bring together people that, well, are not normally going to be getting together and to cause the damage and the sin and everything at once. So,
yeah, and then it wasn't because of Job's sin, like everyone thought. It was actually God allowed it for God's glory. See, Job, he loves me. He is faithful to me, and he will continue. And Satan wanted, you know, desperately for Job to renounce God like his wife told him to do in order to... attack God, but no, Job.
He remained faithful, and God knew exactly what he was going to accomplish through it all. And Satan, you can't do it. And God said, yeah, I will. And even when he gives...
Yeah, that's good for us to know.
What's that?
For us to know in our own daily lives, because, I've had a number of things just all of a sudden, bam, bam, bam. And when we have faith like Job did, like, okay, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it, but what did Job say? But yet I praise him. I forget the quote.
You know, when Habakkuk was told that God was going to bring in the Babylonians, he goes, oh my, I wanted you to do something. I didn't expect you to do that. And Habakkuk's response was very, very candid, that the righteous shall remain faithful. Even though you allow this, God, we shall remain faithful and trusting in you. Exactly what Paul then tells us in the New Testament, you know, that the righteous shall live by their faithfulness, by being faithful, even when they are facing persecution and things just do not seem to make sense. Because like Job, he had no idea why things were going. And when it was all said and done, he still didn't know. He just needed to trust.
So too often I think we give our own understanding too much credit and our own moral judgment and kind of figure like, okay, God, you really messed up this time. You're bad. You did a bad thing here. You were wrong. Like, really? From our little perspective, from our little understanding, and yet we put God in the judgment seat. C.S. Lewis wrote that article or that book, God in the Docks, you know, like God in the seat to be judged.
That's an interesting thing. We'll get there.
And we're so stupid. It's like, you know, the one who does the bad things, you know, that's Satan. Okay. Don't get the two confused.
Yeah.
God, good.
Exactly. Satan, bad. I'll come back to that thought because I think it's a really interesting one and I have a little different twist on that. But, you know, I think the idea that we give, you know, the conspiracy theories too, I think we give way too much credit to groups of people that they are that crafty and thinking that, well, this is what we're going to do. I think they're lucky, and, you know, lucky if you want to take the...
Well, sometimes. I mean, let me throw another one out there, but still I agree with where you're going. Because another one out there is like in World War One with the Lithuania, where the Brits loaded it full of ammunitions or gunpowder or whatever, and it was a passenger ship. Okay, well, the Germans knew that it was loaded with ammunition, and they were not going to allow it to get to... Where was it? America? I forget. And so they bombed it. Okay, that's all that everybody needed to say. See, look at how bad the Germans are. And that's what started World War One, by my understanding. I'm no historian, but... they did plan it, and it worked out perfectly just as they planned it. Or, I mean, I give you another one, The Creature of Jekyll Island. You know, that's a book that you could look up. But anyway, how did the Federal Reserve start? It was about to start two other times. Both times it was thwarted because it was unconstitutional. Jefferson said, if that ever happens, that'll be the end of our republic.
Right.
And so how did it happen? They literally went in disguise, several billionaires, to an island off in Georgia called Jekyll Island, and they planned it all out, the Federal Reserve. And that's when they pulled it off, and ever since then it's been there, and they operate without any accountability at all. So
sure, I think humans are not... I don't think that they are not involved. I just think that the plans that are whispered into their ears, per se, have an outcome that they don't even begin to understand. And they go, wow, didn't expect this one to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and I don't doubt that some of them, too, even literally are involved in human sacrifice, worship Satan, probably literally see and communicate with demons knowingly, intentionally. I don't have any doubt about that. I mean, like, if you see what's happened in the Catholic Church, and then Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest, wrote all about it in a factional called, it's called Windswept House, where he talked all about it after Vatican II, or just before Vatican II, in South Carolina, I believe, about, literally like human sacrifice and gross things, both done perfectly simultaneously there and in Rome, in order to enthrone Satan at the Vatican. So, you know, if you listen to people like Taylor Marshall or whatever, this stuff is, it's
pretty crazy.
It is crazy and it's known, but I guess my bigger point, though, and why I'm saying, like, I agree with you ultimately, though, is that so often it's easy to get your mind around these conspiracies, like, what? Are you serious? That's crazy. Oh, no. And like you're saying, give people then too much credit. But hey, wait a minute. Let's turn this around here, okay? Before creation ever started, God already had the plan that he was going to offer himself up for our redemption. So you want to talk about a conspiracy?
Well, God understood.
That's really well played out, acted out, planned out.
See, there's...
You want to get your mind around that? Yeah, Start looking at what God's done.
Is it? I mean, so here it is. Okay, and we can come back to that idea. You know, God, Christ was sacrificed before, you know, creation. Meaning what? That God knew that on this particular day, at this particular time, that he was going to sacrifice. Or that God says, if I need to, I'll do it. So,
yeah,
there's a huge difference because, well, I know that, Adam, you're just going to be set up to fail, and then this whole thing's going to come. I'm going to destroy it by water, and I just want to show everybody my power. And, you know, and so we become, you know, Tommy Toms. We have no free will, and that doesn't fly with who God says we are. But is God willing to say, hey, if things get so bad, I am willing to, yes, I know what I will do. If I have to send my own son to redeem this world, I will do it.
And I'll go with that and kind of sidestep the issue about, you know, God's foreknowledge versus predestination and just kind of sidestep the whole thing simply by saying, like, okay, so if it's a backup plan or whatever, but what did God do? He had Melchizedek there, you know, who is going to foreshadow Jesus' priesthood. And then that, you know, he blessed Abraham. And then, you know,
yeah, but Isaac, when did all that
Jacob,
happen?
Jacob, King David.
When did that happen, though? Moses set up the temple worship and then the line of David. All of that through Abraham happened what? Not in the garden, okay? We get clue of that not until after what? Until Abraham is called. And then all of a sudden, then we get the temple. And all of a sudden, it's not as though God said, well, maybe I'll do it this way, maybe I do it this way. Okay, but if it was all pre-planned, I mean, you see that he could have shown that way back in the book of Genesis. Okay, but he
well, yeah,
he
and not to quibble over thousands of years here or there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give you 1,000 years here or there. But anyway, the point is we're talking about, heck, even if we just want to say many hundreds of years. Because, I mean, like, we can get all excited about the Jacobins and, you know, then the Freemasons and, you know, with the French Revolution and however since then all these things have been planned out and the Rosicrucians. And in other words, you could go down the road of conspiracy theories regarding evil. And actually, I believe a lot of that.
Sure.
But then we could tend to get fascinated with that, focused on that. But wait a minute. So that's like, let's just say we're talking 500 years there. Okay, well, what do you think God was doing 500 years before that, let's say? I mean, nothing's taken God by surprise, in other words. And God already, I don't care if it's, you know, 100 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, whatever. The point is, God always knows everything that's going on, and you're never going to outsmart him. And so you want to be fascinated with a conspiracy and how amazing it is and how shocking it should be to you? Yeah, look, read your Bible.
Yeah, I mean, there is one common denominator when you look through history, when you look at, you know, you want to look at the Federal Reserve, you want to look at the Masons, you want to look at these things that go on for centuries. It's no one person other than Satan who is involved from the very beginning and will be involved throughout. He's the one common denominator, you know.
Yep.
And we know from Scripture, God will send forth, you know, deceiving spirits to accomplish things that he desires to happen. And sometimes the sending forth is like, okay, Satan, you want to go and do it? Go ahead and do it. Do what you want to do, you know?
Right.
And God has to give permission in order for certain things to allow Satan the opportunity. So back to, you know, Israel being attacked from, you know, by Hamas, God says, hey, I'm going to pull back. I'm pulling this back, all right? And you can do as you desire. And it wasn't God who gave the order, okay, I want you to behead these children. I want you to rape these women. No.
Right.
That's just Satan having the freedom to be able to work within the confines that God has established. You can go this far,
exactly,
but you can't go any farther. Like him, like when he says to Job, hey, I created the oceans. Here's their borders. They cannot go beyond their borders. And so that, you know, so you see the coastline. There's nothing to fear. God has established it. And he says, this is how far the coastline will go. You know, we're all afraid that, oh, you know, the ice caps are going to melt and we're going to lose all this land because of the rising of the tide.
You know, and the reality is God says, no, I'd established how far it can go ahead of time.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this time with Halloween coming up, what is today, 26?
Yeah.
So people can, like, oh, no, do you know that the demons can make the chandelier move?
Well, you know.
And then, and the table rose, and the Ouija board really worked. And, you know, we get all afraid and how powerful the demons are.
Right. It's like, there's nothing to be afraid of.
You know about St. Michael? Do you know about Michael the Archangel?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, what about him?
Do you know about Jesus Christ?
Well,
God the Father. It's like, and you're fascinated with the power of Satan, really?
Right, exactly. You know, by comparison, Satan has a lot of power, right? But by comparison to God, absolutely nothing. But with St. Michael and with some of the other angels, it's a battle. It's not a major league team.
David, we have to stop right now.
It's not a major league team playing an elementary team.
No, we have to stop here right now. There's been history made.
What's that?
There's been history made right now.
How's that?
You just said Saint Michael. That's one step closer. I've got you, brother.
How about I say Saint Dan?
I'm sorry.
How about if I call him Saint Dan?
I couldn't
Dan?
Let that go.
Let me use it. Hey, Saint Dan.
You'd be way off the mark. Way off the mark there. I'm sorry.
Oh, my. Well, you know, hey, we have to have our sponsors, and the Catholic Church is one of them through you.
There we go.
Oh, my.
I couldn't let that go. I'm sorry. That's very immature.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't let that slip by.
Okay, but anyway, as you were saying.
Okay, so the other the point that you had made, you know, what did you say about, you know, judging God? Yeah,
we have God in the docks, C.S. Lewis's book. We have him in the judgment seat, like, whoa, you know what? I've been to college, you know. I'm a really smart guy, and I've done a lot of reading, so I've really thought about moral issues very deeply. And yes, I find God wanting here. I'm sorry.
He's lacking, isn't he?
He's lacking. He's not thinking straight, and he's not acting right. And I'm just here to inform people about that. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a point that I like to explore a bit. Now, it may sound a little heretical here, but, you know, God will never be put on trial, but yet God is on trial, meaning that in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord.
Right.
And it's not because he's going to hold some sword over their head, okay, and require them to bend their knee. It's because they will see and recognize him, who he is. In other words, he will be judged and found to be exactly who he said he is, holy, righteous, merciful, kind, and true. All those attributes.
Right.
And so there is a sense where when this all unfolds, God is judged, and he's judged to be just in everything he does.
Yep. Yep.
And so those.
Yeah, and I don't, in the way I was talking, though, I don't mean to say that therefore our categories of understanding and moral reason in no way can apply to God. I'm just saying not in the
arrogant,
foolish attitude.
But so many people have that. Hey, when I get there, I'm going to tell them what I think. Well, look at Job.
Yeah, so many militant atheists are, Psalm said, they're fools.
They're so arrogant. Well, even Job, though he did not sin, right? Okay, and God says Job did not sin in everything he said. He said, if I could stand before God, I would argue my case. If he wouldn't destroy me in the meantime, I would argue my case, and he would see that he is wrong. Meaning, he would see that he was wrong if, in fact, it was him who sent this because of some sin that he had committed. And Job says, no, I'm not saying I'm sinless, but I haven't done anything to deserve this.
Right. Yeah, it was his opponent. I forget which one, who wanted him kind of just confess your sin, okay?
Yeah.
And Job's like, then I would be lying. So no.
Exactly.
He
knew he wasn't sinless. He said, "Am I being judged for the sins of my youth?" He knows that he's done things wrong, but he knew that this would not bring God's wrath in this way for this destruction. Right. And that's when I come back to that whole party and, you know, that rave party down in southern Israel. It wasn't because of that God had brought in the Hamas, but that was just one indication of all the corruption of them for 2,000 years, okay, the Israel people as a nation denying the Messiah and choosing the God of their own making.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think the same thing for America.
Oh, yeah.
That the hedge of protection has been going down because of our choosing against God and sinning increasingly severity and frequency. At the same time, though, I wouldn't say that God never does act in the way that he's acted in the Old Testament. So there's the sons of Korah and challenging Moses, right? And I believe.
Sure.
And God opened up the ground. And so, oh, gee, that was a sinkhole. Just happenstance. No, I don't believe that. I believe that God opened up the ground, or he already knew the sinkhole was already there planned for this event, whatever.
He created this sinkhole. He doesn't.
And same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah.
They're not.
Oh, gee, we can explain that because of the Dead Sea nearby and blah, blah, blah.
Could you see Moses and, hey, guys, move over this way a little? This, you know, and well, why? Just trust me, move over there.
Yeah, what do you know?
And then boom, a sinkhole, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so however God did it, those are details. I don't really care. But yeah, I believe God killed those people.
When God has a message specifically. When he has a message that he wants to be made loud and clear,
right,
he does it. The sons of Korah, he did that in the book of Acts, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, when they decided they were going to lie to the Holy Spirit. Early on, in both instances, God was beginning the work and saying, listen, this is not going to be derailed, folks, you know, and he brings judgment early on in the mission in which he wants to accomplish. And let us learn from that, right? Let us learn from that. Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the first in the series titled The Appearance of Randomness. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with this conversation that makes a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need, in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.